Good afternoon. Excuse me. So I'll be talking about two-dose varicella vaccination coverage estimates from the Immunization Information System Sentinel site. So as you've heard, in June of 2006, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, recommended a routine two-dose varicella vaccination program for children, with the first dose administered at 12 to 15 months of age and the second dose at 4 to 6 years. Currently, we do not have a mechanism to measure national two-dose varicella vaccination coverage among that recommended age group of 4 to 6 years, unlike the one-dose coverage estimates that we get from the National Immunization Survey, which measures one-dose coverage among children 19 to 35 months of age. So the objectives of our study were to estimate two-dose varicella vaccination coverage in children 4 to 6 years of age, to determine the age at receipt of first and second dose, and to determine the frequency of co-administration with MMR vaccine. So data for our study was collected from the Immunization Information Systems, or IIS, Sentinel Site Project. The purpose of this project is to improve quality of IIS data for immunization program assessment. To be included as a Sentinel site, more than 85% of children less than 19 years of age must participate in the IIS. More than 85% of provider sites must participate in the IIS. And more than 70% of doses administered must be reported within 30 days after administration. So 8 sites were funded for the 2008 to 2012 cycle, and these sites included subsets of Arizona, Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, and Wisconsin, all of North Dakota, and all of New York City, covering approximately 6.4 million children less than 19 years of age. Of these sites, Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin all have school entry requirements for two doses of varicella vaccine. The remaining sites have one dose entry requirements. So to measure varicella vaccination coverage, we looked at the number of varicella and MMR vaccine recipients from 12 months to 18 years of age reported from the Sentinel sites from January 2006 through June of 2010. For the purposes of this analysis, we looked at those kids who were in the 4 to 6 year age group during the entire study period so that we didn't have children aging in and out of the study period, thus ensuring that all of the kids in the birth cohort would have equal opportunity for vaccination during the entire coverage period. So we defined valid varicella vaccine doses as followed. The first dose could be administered on or after the first birthday, minus a 4-day grace period, and the second dose could be administered at least 24 days after that first dose. So for denominators for our coverage estimates, we used two different sources. First, we used children with a demographic record in the IIS with or without varicella disease history. Next, we used the 2009 population census data as a comparison. So these are the calculations that we use to determine one- and two-dose varicella vaccination coverage among the children in the 4 to 6 year age group during our study period. So for estimates using the IIS denominator, we looked at the total number of children with one or two valid doses of varicella vaccine and divided that by the total number of children in the IIS aged 4 to 6 years without a history of varicella disease. For the census denominator estimates, we used the same numerator as we did for the IIS denominator estimates, but we divided that by the total number of children aged 4 to 6 years in the population of the Sentinel sites. So overall varicella vaccination coverage among the 4 to 6 year old children from January 2006 through June of 2010 was 81.7% for one dose, and 56.4% for two doses. Now, these estimates were calculated using the IIS denominator data. So the next few slides will also present estimates, coverage estimates using IIS denominator data. So this first slide presents one dose coverage among the 4 to 6 year age group. So as you can see, coverage ranged from 62% in New York City to 93% in Colorado. This next slide adds in the two-dose coverage among those sites and overall. As you can see, two-dose coverage is lower than one-dose coverage, ranging from 32% in New York City to 67% in Colorado. In most of the sites with two-dose school entry requirements, however, we saw, and that includes Colorado, Michigan, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, we saw two-dose coverage estimates greater than 60%. So we also looked at a comparison of the second dose of varicella vaccine versus the second dose for MMR, since they're both recommended to be administered at 4 to 6 years of age. We found that two-dose varicella vaccination coverage lags behind that of two-dose MMR coverage, with the overall two-dose MMR coverage at 78% versus 56% for varicella second dose. So how do the coverage estimates using IIS data compare to other estimates? Well, first we looked at one-dose varicella vaccination coverage among the 19 to 35-month-olds, and we used data, we used estimates with using the IIS denominator data, and we compared it to estimates using census denominator data and then to the NIS estimates. So in general, you can see that the census estimates in pink are much closer to the NIS estimates in green, and the IIS estimates are lower overall. And some of the following reasons could explain the differences between the IIS and NIS or census estimates. So first, the NIS counts all doses of vaccine administered, whereas the IIS only counts valid doses. Second, the IIS are challenged by adjusting for mobility of children in and out of the catchment area, so this may result in higher denominators than what's used for NIS or census estimates, and this can lead to underestimated coverage. Third, the NIS and census do not take into account varicella disease history. Fourth, not all providers participate in IIS, and even though the Sentinel sites have high participation from their providers, they may not submit all of their vaccination data. Also, most Sentinel sites include only a subset of the state, whereas NIS includes all the state. So then we looked at a comparison of the second dose varicella vaccination coverage using IIS denominator versus census denominator. And as you saw with the first dose coverage estimates, the census estimates are higher than the IIS estimates, with 68% overall for census and 56% for IIS. So based on these differences among two-dose varicella vaccination coverage, we would be very interested in hearing from those of you in the audience with experience with registries on what you might think might be good denominator data to use that would best reflect vaccination coverage. So we also evaluated the timing of the administration of varicella vaccine among the 4 to 6 year age group during our study period. So as I mentioned earlier, the first dose is recommended to be administered at 12 to 15 months of age. So based on our analysis, we found that 45% of these children received their first dose at 12 months, and about 67% received their first dose within the recommended 12 to 15 months of age. For the second dose, which is, again, recommended at 4 to 6 years of age, for those who receive that second dose, 37% received it at 4 years of age, and 51% received it at 5 years of age. So lastly, we looked at the co-administration of varicella and MMR vaccines, since they're recommended to be given at the same time. So for both the first and second doses of varicella and MMR, a majority of them received both vaccines at the same time during the same visit, but as separate vaccines. Only 3% received MMRV as their first dose, whereas 22% received MMRV as their second dose. One possible explanation for the low percentage of MMRV for the first dose is that since we looked at only 4 to 6 year old children in our study period, it's possible that when they would have gotten their first dose, MMRV might not have been available. So some of the limitations from our study include calculation of varicella vaccination coverage estimates is challenging using the registry data because of issues with the denominator. So as I mentioned, the IIS denominators may be inflated because children who move in and out of the area may not be taken out of the registry. And IIS data does record varicella history, which is important for calculations of coverage because these would be excluded from that calculation. But those data are not necessarily complete. However, population census denominators don't include children with history of disease. Also, the two-dose varicella vaccination recommendation was made in 2006 and likely had slow uptake in the earlier years of our study period. So by looking at coverage over the entire study period, this may have led to lower estimates. So in conclusion, we found that during the first 4 years of the two-dose varicella vaccination program, from 56 to 68% of children have received their two doses of varicella vaccine. Although this is promising, the coverage does lag behind that for the second dose of MMR. And although IIS provides a good source of data to calculate two-dose varicella vaccination coverage, it does underestimate the actual coverage, as we saw with the comparison to the census and NIS estimates. We also found that states with two-dose school entry requirements generally had higher two-dose varicella vaccination coverage estimates. Thus, adoption of two-dose school entry requirements may help improve coverage of two doses further. Lastly, we found that most children are receiving both varicella and MMR vaccines during the same visit as recommended, but as separate vaccines. And finally, I just wanted to acknowledge colleagues in the Sentinel sites and also particularly those from CDC, Karen Colin, Laura Pabst, and Stephanie Bialik. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that presentation. This session is now open for questions.
Hi, Raphael Harpaz, CDC. I had a question for, for Margaret. Did you find any relationship, I don't know if you've looked at this, did you find any relationship between numbers of cases or numbers of outbreaks as a function of school second dose coverage across your hundreds of schools?
So I think that's a great question, and it's actually something that we're those schools are under surveillance for this 2010-2011 school year. So since we haven't ended the school year yet, once we do complete the school year, I think we will start looking at cases at the different schools and see if there is a correlation with the percentage of two-dose coverage at those schools.
Okay. Thanks. And the second question is, are you, just by anecdote, are you getting any pushback from parents about either the one about regarding the two-dose recommendation now that you're 4 or 5 years into it?
New York City?
Both you and Vicki.
Well, New York City actually doesn't have a two-dose requirement for our schools. We only have a one-dose requirement. But
I'm sorry, would you repeat the question?
Are you getting any pushback from parents about the two-dose requirement? Or are you getting, by anecdote, you get parents who don't like it?
Not really, but I work in the surveillance of vaccine-preventable diseases rather than immunization unit, so I may not be the perfect person to ask that question to.
I just wanted to address Adriana's question about the two-dose
I know when we, and in New York City, we do a lot with our registry data and we submit it, but you took all comers in that birth court, is that right? You didn't, like, include a certain number of shots, which is one of the ways that we might try to get a better denominator. Because certainly in the city, we have people who may be coming in from the surrounding area, including other states, and are born, and that vital record may be on our registry. But other than, say, a birth dose of hepatitis C, we might not see any other vaccinations. And particularly if you're looking at an older age cohort, we might look at, you know, do you have 3 DPTs or something that would suggest that you've at least been in the area, you know, and get it, you know, and being reported into the system and as a way to better define your registry denominator for those surveillance.
Thank you. That's a very good suggestion.
Hi, my name is Kim from Georgia. We're talking about the school-age kids get those second doses. Now, what about the college ages, like maybe 18 and above? Do they have to have 2 doses? Because we get a lot of those coming in for that. Do we need to be giving them a second dose if they haven't had it?
How are you asking me?
It don't matter.
We do recommend, if they have not had varicella vaccine or history of disease, it is recommended that adults get 2 doses. However, we don't have a good way of measuring coverage in older populations. So above 18, like, the registries don't contain information on those older than 19 or 18 years of age. You don't. You just, yeah. If they don't have history, then you go ahead and vaccinate.
Hi, Karen Collins, CDC. I work with Adriana on this. Just to respond to the gentleman's comment about the denominator, we actually did only include children who had 2 or more doses in the registry. So we did account for that, because we do see records where kids just get the first dose of Hep B, and that's kind of it. So.
Stephanie Violet, CDC. I had a question for Vicki and maybe for Margaret as well, and it's sort of similar to the one that Raphael asked. Since you've been doing surveillance for outbreaks, could you just give us some, you know, sort of a just a general overview of the extent to which you're seeing outbreaks and if you've seen any changes since the second dose was introduced? I know in Minnesota you've been doing outbreak surveillance for a more extended period of time.
Yes, actually we've seen very few outbreaks this year. In fact, only 4 schools in the state of Minnesota have reported outbreaks. In the 2010 and 2011 year, it's a little bit too quiet out there. and we're wondering actually what's happening, but I don't know that we can attribute that to the 2-dose requirement. I have a feeling that some discussion that went on about excluding children during outbreaks that may be contributing to some hesitancy on the part of at least some schools to report outbreaks now that there's a lot more to do. At least, and we don't know, but that's kind of what we're afraid of.
Yeah, and in New York City, we have seen declines in the number of outbreaks that have been reported to us, and we define an outbreak as 5 cases or more of varicella. I think for last year, we only had 1 or 2 outbreaks. This year, we haven't had any outbreaks. We are pretty strict about excluding children when there is a varicella case in a school, so I do think that that helps as well to control outbreaks in addition to the 2-dose requirement or recommendation.
Actually, I had one question for you, Margaret. Have you had a chance to take a look, or can you take a look at the representativeness of the schools participating in the active outbreak surveillance where you got the vaccination coverage data versus the rest of the schools in terms of race and ethnicity?
Sure. Yeah, I can speak to race ethnicity data. For New York City public school students, We're actually underrepresenting Hispanics in our sample, and we're underrepresenting Blacks not of Hispanic origin, and we're also overrepresenting Asian Pacific Islanders and whites not of Hispanic origin. The schools that we chose for this study really sort of came to us in terms of being good at reporting varicella, so it was a convenient sample. How this compares to New York population as a whole, generally we're right on track for the for Hispanics and Blacks not of Hispanic origin, but there are more whites not of Hispanic origin in New York City as a whole that are underrepresented in our sample.